Welcome back to On the Fly Filmmaking, part of Popcorn Talk University here at AfterBuzz Studios. I'm your host, Mary Lou Mandel, and today we're going to talk to some fabulous young filmmakers about things that they did to make their movie on the fly and fabulous for you. So be right back in just a moment.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's On the Fly Filmmaking.
So we're talking today with Carly and Marley Roberts, who made a wonderful film called Little Miss Perfect, and we're going to get some tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes solutions that they came up with to make their film on the fly. Now, this was a really fabulous feature-length movie, so I think in previous episodes of this, we've talked to people who've made shorts, so this one is a feature-length, and it's hard to do that. It's really hard to make a full-length movie. And it had me going the entire time. So these girls are sisters, and they're so young and so fabulous. I'm very excited to talk to you guys. Welcome to the show, Carly and Marley.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yes, welcome. Let everybody know where they can find you on social media.
Sure. On Twitter and Facebook, personally, and Instagram, I'm Marley Roberts, at Marley Roberts, M-A-R-L-E-E. Mm-hmm. And the film is at LMP Movie.
And all my social media handles are at Carly Roberts.
Yes, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
It was like a social media battle, right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, someone on Instagram had the username that I wanted, and it's been a few years since.
She must be destroyed.
I don't know.
No? Well, she hasn't posted in years.
Yeah,
that's why
we
were just like,
good.
Carly was like,
so there is
this.
A way. Because I know there's other people who have those problems too, and they're like, but this person's not even using the account, and I want it. So I'm really glad that it worked out for you. Well, in our world, right, in entertainment, like you really want that brand to be right across all of the platforms. So I'm very, very happy for you guys that you got that happening there. So, Marley, you wrote and directed Little Miss Perfect, and then you were the star. You were Annabelle, Bella or Anna, depending on where in the movie you are. So I think you guys did a really good job working on that together. Where does this fall in your history as filmmakers?
Well, I started off acting in the industry. So I've been acting since I was like 3 years old. I grew up in New Jersey. And so I was really close to Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And it was another sort of extracurricular activity for me. And then when I got to college, I decided that I didn't really want to study acting, but I couldn't get away from it.
Uh-huh.
I had tried some other programs. I had tried a law program. I had tried a political science, and I cried every day. It was not my thing. And then I tried writing and a screenplay course, and I really fell in love with telling stories and being on the other side of the camera. And when I went to film school, I got accepted to NYU, and I made a short film that was my college essay.
Right on.
And so I got an assignment there. And that's how I started with Little Miss Perfect.
Great. That's awesome. And then how about for you? You also like fall into the same thing? Acting was just part of your extracurricular?
Well, I always was in the back seat when my parents would drive my sister around to different auditions and different shows and gigs that she got. And one day I was like, okay, I have had enough of the back seat. I'm coming to the front seat now.
Yes.
And I started acting, and now I'm also going to film school at Columbia.
Oh, so congratulations.
Following her footsteps.
Yes, that's so great.
Owe it all to her.
And I have that has such a special place in my heart because I also have sisters and I'm the eldest, and I'm like, I'm going to do entertainment. And then I see them trying to do like wanting to do entertainment things. And now like my sister that's just turned 26 yesterday has moved to LA, and she's doing her thing here. And it's great.
That's nice.
Like,
yeah.
Yes. Bring all the girls here. Let's make all the movies.
Yeah. We really like to work together. We know how we work.
Right.
And we're 7 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
So we never really had that conflict, because by the time that she gets to the age that she's dealing with certain things, I'm already out of it.
Right.
So I can give some perspective and try to be my and she lets me be like the big sister. So
totally.
She's like, yeah, sure, you can just give me advice.
I'm 8 years apart with my sister as well. So it's that same kind of thing. It's a really cool dynamic, especially when you get to work on something creative together.
Absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about that. How's that been?
Filming Little Miss Perfect was really simple, I would have to say, just because as you said, we just know how each other works.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to deliver the best performance, she knew how to direct me and what to tell me so I can get my best performance.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we don't have that extra hump to get over when you are first working with an actor. You're kind of figuring out how they work. And it's great if you can get the rehearsal time, but that's not always the case. And everyone works differently. But with Carly, we also had a lot of prep time. So we worked a lot in advance because we're dealing with very heavy topics, some serious issues. We wanted to do justice and make sure that we were portraying these correctly. So we did a lot of research beforehand.
And then you have years of experience with each other. So whenever you need to pull something out of her, you have like a lot of reference. You know, where you're like, remember that time when mom did this weird thing? Like, use that.
That's this moment right now.
Does that ever come up?
Oh, totally.
That's great. Awesome. Cool. Okay. So then both of you, so you have went through film school and then you are now in film school?
I just completed my first semester.
And so what are you finding in film school that you guys are really enjoying?
Well, I loved that. And I went to NYU and that program is much more hands-on and more of a production-based. What I loved is my first year I had to do a little bit of everything. And then we were allowed to go forth and concentrate on a specific avenue. So I really enjoyed being able to tackle all the various parts of production because I think it all informs you as a director and as a producer. And then I just fell into directing. I thought that was, with my years, I guess, as of experience acting, I really enjoyed working with the actors.
For me, I'm going to Columbia, and my first semester was very theoretical and, as opposed to hands-on. They really wanted to teach you about different influences and stuff like that. For the undergrad, they mostly focus on pre-production rather than production, so getting ready for you to make your film, making sure that you have funding and you have a great script. So I look forward to doing that. I fell into film because I personally really like sci-fi movies, and film is a way that you can empathize with different characters, and how can you mix between something like science, which is so rational, and something with film that's so empathetic.
So what's one of your favorite sci-fi movies?
Gattaca.
Yes, very good. How about you? What's a favorite movie for you in any genre?
I love Kramer vs. Kramer is like one of the top ones. Aaron Brockovich. Raging Bull.
Cool. Yeah, so I love the this kind of contrast of the kind of films that you guys like, what that's going to bring for your future projects.
I'm excited. We're working right now on like a dystopian sci-fi concept together, and it kind of brings forth my character-driven based love for movies and her sci-fi.
Because those are the best ones where it's like a sci-fi movie that has really good characters, like Alien. You know, like Ripley is like very layered. And even though you might not realize that like on a first like sitting of that movie, then you realize, no, this woman's just like dealing with a lot of things.
Like Interstellar, The Martian.
And have, even like, more films that are dramas, like The Theory of Everything, where it's not necessarily, it just has a scientific context.
That's true.
But it's still considered a drama.
It's great. I love that. So good. You have like good education.
Thank you.
Good job.
We think education is important.
It is very important. So while you guys are in film school, so I, from what I understand, your director of photography, did he go to school with you?
Oren? He did. Yes,
Oren. So I saw he went to NYU also.
He did. He was one of my first friends at NYU. And we were on a train, actually, when I told him about Little Miss Perfect. And he's like, well, why didn't you make it?
That's crazy.
You didn't know that?
No.
We were on a subway, and he was just in front of me, and he was one who was like, you should go for it. And I never, growing up, I didn't have that support, because when I went to, I just went to regular public high school, and we didn't really have those programs, and they supported me as much as they could. And when I went to NYU, then all these people, I thought, oh gosh, this is going to be so competitive. But it wasn't. It was so, so supportive. And he's the one, he actually
That's so great.
Inspired me to.
And he did a really great job.
Thanks. Yeah. I'll pass it along.
He did. Like, it's beautiful. And Marissa, the producer, and I were talking before this about how the color changed, like the color temperature changed.
So,
and we're like, look at that.
Yeah, so the beginning of the movie, we have a lot more warmer tones. It's fall, and we also put some diffusion on the the camera, so it, everything's a little bit more hazy. We also have more moving shots. We used a lot of dolly. And then we go into winter. It's much cooler tones. We strip back the diffusion. Things are a little bit more harsh. Her life is getting some serious spiraling downward. And then in spring, we go back to a little bit more warmth, not as much as the the fall, because there's hope, but it's not fully there. And then we also we, from winter we move to handheld, and it's kind of shaky, and then fall goes to sticks, so we're kind of steady as she's getting her life back together.
And I really love that the utilization of colors and even camera movement to help tell the story and give context,
yeah,
because like you get a feeling from it.
Absolutely. I mean, that's I drive everything. I'm my directing style is very much driven by the character. Mm-hmm. So I like the character-driven dramas, but I think that we, as an audience, can really connect emotionally to mm-hmm. these characters, and that's the way we can really learn the most about new topics yeah. and new things that we wouldn't necessarily be able to.
Right, because we are putting ourselves into these characters mm-hmm. and experiencing with them, or even if, you know, if you can't put yourself in it, at least it's like somebody you know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we're like, I cared about Bella. I was like, girl, please don't do that. You're yeah. going to be okay. So let's get into talking more about Little Miss Perfect. But first, let's watch the trailer from the movie.
I got elected class president.
Congrats!
Oh, thanks.
Why don't you ever ask me how my day at school goes, Dad?
We know we don't have to worry about you, Belle.
I believe in control.
Mom? Mom?
She just needs time.
For what?
For herself.
Where are you?
Why are you on this page?
It's just inspo. The inspiration. Just inspiration to keep fit.
I know what inspo is.
Don't tell anyone.
Is everything all right?
Fine.
You're not planning on killing yourself or anything, right?
I'm done being on the track everyone thinks I want to be on.
I'm worried about you.
What are you trying to be, anyway? You trying to be more like your mother?
You're only lying to yourself.
Life isn't perfect. You can't always get what you want, but you can get pretty close.
You're 85.
Really?
What's with your attitude?
Sorry, I'm not perfect.
You're perfect.
I need you to eat something.
I'm really not that hungry.
Starving yourself isn't good for you, neither.
Little Miss Perfect. Yeah. Oh, I love it. I'm like, I want to go back and watch it again. So I understand you guys just had your LA premiere last night.
Last night.
Congratulations on that. How was that experience?
It was fantastic. We had a lot of people in our age demographic that we had anticipated would be watching the film there. So it was a great experience to see the reaction.
That's really cool. So what have you guys been doing in terms of social media? Because I know there was a whole social media campaign around this with the Face Your Beast hashtag.
Yeah.
So how was that coming about?
So Little Miss Perfect has been starting a campaign called hashtag Face Your Beast. And basically my character in the film, Belle, she is a girl who sees this haunting image of her perfect and idealized self. And she wants to be that person, but she just can't. And she just feels like she loses control over her life. And she's a disappointment to other people, and that haunting image of her perfect and idealized self will always be there.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to learn how to face her beast. And in the film, it's her perfectionist nature that leads her, and controlling nature that leads her to an eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the film, she goes and she has to look in the mirror, and she just has to walk away from it as if it will always be there. Mm-hmm. But she has the power to do something about it.
Right.
So we want other people who are facing internal struggles to come out and embrace who they are. And then other people will see, hey, one, they have confidence, and two, they're not alone.
Right. And I love that, because everyone has a beast. It might be a different kind of addiction or a different kind of problem, but everybody has something that they can relate to in that. So I think that's really fabulous usage of the social media campaign and like a hashtag. So I think that's really great. So how did this story come about to begin with?
Well, it was twofold. Firstly, I was in high school when I encountered, much like Belle does in the movie, some pro-eating disorder content online, and I didn't know what to make of it. I was, what I later realized, was really at risk for an eating disorder based on my environmental factors, my personality, having slightly OCD tendencies, and family dynamics, not having an absent family, but the way in which everyone coordinates because of personalities. So all of these things come into effect. And I went online and I found this content and I didn't have any context for it. There was nothing else online or anywhere that I could find that explained to me what I was looking at. And so when you're 14, 15 and you're looking at this stuff, I mean, I was going on it, then going off of it, then going on it and going off. And I didn't, because what they were saying online connected with me about control, about perfection, about wanting these things, about feeling like you don't want to disappoint people all the time and that you're trying to like uphold this image of perfection. And inside you don't really know if people actually truly like you for who you are and you're kind of afraid. So this is like a whole battle. And I felt this sort of duality that when I went to, when I started college, my freshman year, I was given an assignment to adapt a fairy tale. And I thought immediately of Beauty and the Beast. And I thought, well, Belle means beauty. And in the original fairy tale, there's a curse put on the beast. And he has to learn how to love someone and be loved in return in order to break the spell. And I thought, what a great way to... I was just like, that's exactly the way I kind of feel in that duality of wanting to be in control, but knowing that, you know, doing something like going online to these pro eating disorder content is kind of being out of control. And that duality I thought was really interesting. So in the film, we implemented this rule that Belle has to learn how to love herself.
Yes, she has to love her beast.
She has to.
It's her, like which herself. Is herself.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like, I kind of caught, I was like, I feel like this is maybe Beauty and the Beast, but it's not so much. But like when you say this, and I was like, I see it. And that's great. Yeah, and I'm sorry, I thought it was Bella, but it's Belle.
Yeah.
Which makes total sense.
Yeah.
With your Beauty and the Beast reference. So yeah, that's brilliant. And I like as a writing prompt and taking something that is like a classic story that kind of leads you down a path. So it's not like a direct adaptation. It's definitely not. But there's like, was a little glimmer of something in this story that sparked this other fire.
Yeah.
So that's really great.
Yeah, we take other little things from the, you know, to just pay homage to the original tale. There are elements of yellow symbolizing hope. And that's something that, you know, Belle wears in the other adaptations of Beauty and the Beast. So she'll have little pieces of yellow and that's kind of her color. And then there's that symbolic rose. So Belle is given a rose at some point, kind of like in the Disney version. So she's given a rose and it's starting to wilt, and that kind of symbolizes and is a metaphor for her personal state during the movie. So she like will throw it out, and then sometimes she puts it in water, and you see, like, so it's like little things like that you wouldn't necessarily pick up on, but if you watch it maybe a second or third time, you start seeing.
I definitely there's like a scene with the rose, and the rose is a little wilty, and like I definitely saw a reflection into the bigger story of this because of the timing that happens in the movie, and I was like, these girls are paying attention in class for sure. Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about the on the fly aspect of filmmaking. So when anybody's ever making a film, whether you have all the budget in the world or two pennies to put together, like you're always going to have to come up with things last minute because whether you have a huge budget and like you could get it, but it's not available right now, you're going to have to come up with a solution, or you have nothing and you're like, I'm going to like tape these pieces of like shoes together, like, and then we're going to make those headphones. I don't know. Whatever we come up with, that's what you have to do, and you work with it. So give me some stories that you guys had on the fly. So I know we discussed ahead of time a few different things. So let's bring up a photo of a bathroom scene that they have in the movie. So there's a bunch of these bathroom scenes, but you guys kind of got into a little bit of the challenges of shooting maybe in a small space.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And we shot the bathroom scenes all in one day. It was a tough day for Carly.
And
oh, really emotional that day.
Yeah.
Because all the emotional scenes are in the bathroom.
Yeah. So it was quite a psychologically challenging day shooting all of these scenes in the bathroom, just back to back to back to back, and being like, oh my gosh, what is even happening right now?
Yeah.
But we were on the last scene of the day, and we kept shooting the scene over and over and over again, and I just felt like I wasn't getting it right. And there, we were just shooting, and everything was like, oh my gosh, I'm trying really hard right now, and I'm just not delivering that performance. Mm-hmm. That performance that this is exactly how Belle feels right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just really tired, exhausted, and I was upset because we were about to wrap, and everyone was like, okay, let's go, come on, right?
Yeah.
We want to wrap for the day. And I was talking to Marley, and she said, you know, this is exactly how Belle feels right now. She doesn't want to disappoint anyone.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying really hard, but can't seem to get it right. And we reshot the scene again, and I just felt like myself that day, and we used that shot for the scene in the film.
That's so great. Yeah, so yeah. You utilized the angst you were actually feeling in real life.
Yeah.
Transferred that over, and then that's you, like, as a director, utilizing that and seeing, being able to, like, see the big picture of, like, okay, like, I can be like, listen, we got to get this shot, or I can be, like, gentle with my performer that's going through this really hard moment. Yeah. And, like, utilize that.
It was such a tight space. I mean, because we're in that bathroom, and you have an entire crew just mm-hmm. in that bathroom. And then you'd have, like, the monitor right outside. And so we're, you know, trying to get people. And we closed it as much as we could for the emotional scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I pulled her aside into a separate room, and we just talked for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And witnessing that and seeing, oh, gosh, what you're feeling right now. You don't have to do anything. It's just that.
Just use it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's really great. So there's also, there's always a situation with a microphone. In everybody's project. So you guys were telling me about a ballroom scene. So we'll pull that photo up where Belle has to give a speech. So tell me what went wrong there.
So we shot that two separate days. So we shot all the crowd scenes with all of our extras. We have tons of extras in that scene. And all the wide shots, we shot that one day. And then we shot the close-ups of Belle and some of the other shots on a second day.
Mm-hmm.
But in the ballroom scene, there's a band. And so when we did all the wide shots, they are the ones who brought their microphone. We didn't realize that they brought it, and that wasn't production's microphone.
Uh-huh.
So when they left for the day, they took their microphone home. The next day we get there, and we're like, where's the mic? Well, we have all these close-ups of Belle talking into this mic. We need the mic.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get them. I mean, they lived like 2 hours away. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, well, what are you going to do on the fly, right? So our art director, Ty Lazauskas, she's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And she comes up with craziest stuff right mm-hmm. in the moment. She took a water bottle,
mm-hmm.
clear water bottle, cut off the bottom, flipped it over because the ridges of that water bottle like emulate the same sort of ridges on the microphone.
Look at that. You would never know.
She spray painted it silver and put it on a stand, and we just got the close-ups of them. Like, it was insane, and it looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's some magic. And the art direction is so, like, art directors are so skilled.
They are so creative.
Mm-hmm.
I think she also did, now that I'm thinking of it, I think she also did the entrance to the school, the plaque, right?
I just thought of that, too.
Yeah.
So we had ordered a plaque that said the school's name at the beginning, and we didn't get it. In time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just wasn't being delivered.
Yeah.
And I think it was Ty as well.
Yeah, it was her.
Who went out with also our production designer, Dara, and they went out to some craft store, and I don't know how they did it. Some sort of metal thing, and then they engraved it themselves and then put it in front of the school,
And then it was there.
Yeah.
You're like, not delivered? No problem.
Yep.
We will come up with the solution. All right, and then you guys had another story about the final scene where Belle is walking back into the school.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So tell me what was going on here.
Well, we weren't sure. After shooting for a little while, started thinking about how the movie was ending and mm-hmm. how we wanted it to end and whether it would feel complete. And so I was talking with my executive producer, and we were thinking about the different options of the ending and how he was assisting me as I was writing it as well. So we were talking about going back and forth with which ending is going to be the one that is necessary for Belle's journey.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different subplots. There's a subplot with her mother. There's mm-hmm. There's that online world, and then her journey with this beast.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure out exactly how we wanted to end. I knew the basis of it. I knew it was outside the school, how we begin the movie, which mm-hmm. is her entering the school to come full circle. And that's entering the school for the first time since her recovery
mm-hmm.
or as she's recovering. And the beginning is when she's just starting school in the beginning of the year. So I knew that was definitely what we wanted, but we didn't know what that final message is that we wanted to leave with, mm-hmm. with everyone. So that they're walking out the theater, and that's what sticks with them. So we shot it actually a couple different ways. Mm-hmm. So we shot it once. There's also this subplot of photography. So we're like, what is that last subplot that we need to wrap this up mm-hmm. with like a big bow? So we shot one where she gets a phone call from someone really important in the movie. And we were deciding, okay, does she answer it? Does she not answer it? What does that say about her character? Mm-hmm. But then we thought, okay, that's what's going to... So we shot one that way. Yeah. We shot her answering the phone. We shot her getting the phone call and us not knowing whether or not she answered it. Mm-hmm. We shot her looking at a picture because she's into photography that kind of wraps up this idea that she's on this photography journey. But we're like, no, that's not quite it either. And then what we ended up was leaving people with a message and sticking to her personal mm-hmm. her personal journey as she goes in. But I don't want to reveal too much. But we shot it like a bunch of different ways so that in the editing room we had
you have choices
to play.
That's great. And I love the choice that you made because I felt like it was really like the story that we were following that's like the loudest and the most mm-hmm. poignant, that's the one that we stuck with at the end. So I think that was a fabulous, fabulous choice. So some of your scenes are definitely like the photography thing. You guys are in dark rooms and dealing mm-hmm. with those kind of light situations. So were there any situations where like you shot something and then when you got to see it later, it was like way too dark?
I would say with the most interesting thing with the dark room is that when we were shooting all day in there and we had all the red lights, after a while, your eye adjusts to the light. Mm-hmm. So you're in there a couple hours and we're like, this doesn't look red anymore. Did the lights?
Oh, wow.
So it was bright red when we walked in, but when we were shooting later in the day, we're like, is this red?
We're like, this can't be red. And everyone starts second guessing it because you're in there for so long, your eye just starts adjusting. So everything starts looking gray. And I was like, no, guys, I really think there's a problem. Like, you just don't. Your eye plays tricks on you.
Yeah.
You think you're going crazy. But then when we left the dark room for mm-hmm. lunch, you like opened the door and the whole world looked blue.
Yes.
Like super blue. It was insane because your eye is just adjusting to that. I mean, you can get that sometimes when you leave your house and come in.
Yeah, all the time are like staring at the computer too long and you're like, what is life out here?
Yeah.
What is going on here? And then so you guys mentioned a lot of using movement in your cameras mm-hmm. or having them on sticks in order to like tell the story. Mm-hmm. Were there ever any situations where like the shot you wanted, like the gear failed you? Or like if you had a steady cam that you like you really needed this to be a moving shot, but for some reason, you know, gear fails sometimes.
Goodness. That's a good question.
Yeah. And if it didn't, then is there like if that did happen, like what's a solution that you would come up with?
Well, I mean, our grips would just
they
put
came
something
up with something.
Together.
Yeah, totally.
They would totally just rig something
mm-hmm,
up.
Sure.
We had a lot of weird stuff going on with the ballroom.
Oh my gosh, they were on the scaffolding, weren't they?
Yeah, we had people on scaffolding at some point to set stuff up, and then we had an intense moving shot. We had a lot of a lot of things that had to be choreographed,
right?
So moving shots when Belle's like exiting the ballroom when she's coming into it, everything to go through her perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think if there was.
I think one time maybe it was in Belle's house that we wanted the dolly to be longer.
And there was a wall. I mean, there was one time there was a wall in the way.
And you didn't knock it down?
Like, they built, like, an entire track.
Yeah,
it was
they
crazy.
Built a track that went around the...
Like train tracks.
Yeah.
I was like, what is even happening right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll come up with some interesting stuff. So, good. I'm glad that you got the shots that you needed from it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you guys were shooting in this really, really beautiful school. Like, is it actually a school or was it something else?
No, it's an actual school.
It's an actual school?
The College of New Rochelle.
Okay. How was it shooting in there?
Oh, they were wonderful to us.
Oh, my gosh. They were amazing.
Yeah, we shot a lot in that school. Actually, we shot more than you would think. We shot Belle's main school using one of their buildings. Then that campus let us stage all of our equipment. They let us have holding air. They were so good to us. And then we actually shot the... there's a hospital scene, and we shot the nurse's office, and we shot some other places, other locations, like a rehab center, anything else, the ballroom
scene.
Where the ball is, was another building of theirs. And my favorite is the castle. So we shot in a historic castle that is on the campus. It's the historic Leland Castle, and all of the scenes of the girls having lunch, where they have like their little lunch, is in this beautiful castle. And I couldn't believe they actually gave us permission to shoot there.
Where is this?
This is in New Rochelle, New York.
Yeah. Oh, in New York.
College of New Rochelle, yeah.
That's great. That's what a wonderful location. And it's so great when places and people who run the location are so willing to let you have space to shoot in.
Yeah.
And then you make it work where you're like, this is now a hospital.
Yeah. Well, because they had these sections for their students who were pre-med and going into nursing, and they had these makeshift hospital sets that looked like a set.
They even had people there, and when I walked into the set and I was like, whoa,
I had to jump back, not real people.
Oh my gosh. They looked real, like real people.
And did you guys know that going in, or was that like a happy accident once you were there where you're like, oh, this could be the hospital?
When we were location scouting, we figured out that was an option. Yeah.
Which is like,
yes.
Isn't it great when those things come together and you're like, thank you, film gods, whatever you're doing. Like,
we could just stage our equipment there. We shot there for 2 weeks and we can leave everything there. That's the biggest thing is like not having to switch to another location, which would have completely added an extra at least week or two of shooting.
Yeah. Wow, that's... And did you guys stay nearby? Like, do you have everybody, like, in a hotel nearby?
We all stayed in Connecticut, and then some people commuted because it was pretty close to the city.
So easy to get to.
Yeah, and we shot in Connecticut for the house portion. Mm-hmm. So some people who stayed there then commuted from there, and we all did kind of a family
crew cool. So definitely go out and see Little Miss Perfect. If there's screenings in your area, make sure you guys check that out. And so before we wrap up, I want to chat with you guys about just some of your favorite parts of the filmmaking process, whether it's this film or like while you guys were actors prior to this movie. Like, what are some of your favorite things?
So for me, it's the reactions. Mm-hmm. I've watched the film so many times now, but now every time we go to a screening or the premiere, I just want to take a chair and face the audience and just like watch their faces, because seeing what works and like what they missed or even a different reaction than another person would have in a scene is just unbelievable to see their whole like thought process go.
What are some of the reactions that you've seen out there?
We've had gasps, we've had laughs, we've had also uncomfortable laughter, which
that's
was
really
fascinating. Yeah. So one screening, they were full of uncomfortable laughs, where others were just like, oh my God, we're very empathetic and stuff like that.
And then the audience tends to go a certain way. So if one person gasps, then other people tend to follow that same energy.
Yeah.
Which is really
there's a little pack mentality in people a little bit. You just need somebody to set it off. But isn't it neat how much is revealed about people when they are watching something?
Yeah.
And they don't think somebody's watching them, because now they're just like giving, and then they open up, and then you see like, oh, here's a little glimpse of your soul that you wouldn't have shown me otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's neat.
It is. It really is.
It's really neat.
And then getting the feedback too is really nice, especially with people who it hits close to home with.
Yeah,
That's been really rewarding.
Any of your other favorite parts of like actual production?
Well, I think we did the like morning stretches. We did a lot of fun stuff on set.
Oh yeah.
So every morning, Oren actually I believe led everyone in a morning stretch. So we'd have breakfast, then we'd do that, kind of relax.
Yes.
And then at the end of shooting, sometimes we'd hold like little dance parties to let off steam.
Yeah.
Especially for the tough days.
Mm-hmm. And on Sundays we had Sunday soirees. Yeah.
Where we had like ice cream sundaes.
Yeah. And stuff like that. So that's so much fun. You guys kept it fun on set, because especially being such a heavy topic, you want to make sure you still lighten the mood so people are having fun during this. You want to look forward to coming to work.
Yeah.
You know, because I've definitely done shoots where I'm acting and it's something heavy, and then like you go home and if there's nothing to break it up, you just go home and you're still in it. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to break out of it by yourself. Like, it's possible, but you know, when I was like a young actor and I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is this feeling? Like, make it go away, you know? So I did a play that was about just like raping women, you know, and I had to give like this speech about like how women are raped every 3 minutes. And it was very moving, and people were like, wow, that performance, like, how did you even get there? But I was like, I was in it for 3 weeks. Like, somebody pull me out of this. And then like afterwards, I was like, I can't go back there.
Especially when you're dealing with young talent. Mm-hmm. So our cast was primarily made up of 12 to 15 year olds. So, I mean, I talked with their parents and I talked with them, and I said, if you ever feel uncomfortable, you let me know immediately. We stop, we figure out what we need to do.
Yeah.
And we worked with two clinical psychologists as well.
Good. Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, we tried to make sure that we crafted this properly. Mm-hmm. And then also for audiences, because there is some material that might be sensitive to some people mm-hmm. who might be going through it now. Mm-hmm. And so if they come to terms with it and are watching it, you know, that's something that we carefully crafted the film to make sure that it was never glamorizing or romanticizing, mm-hmm. that it was really a realistic portrayal.
Yeah. And which is, like, when you guys had the shots with the actual internet stuff on the screen, when mm-hmm. Bella's, like, looking at it, you know, I am, like, a rational adult, but I still looked at those and I was like, oh, like, I wonder how this is, you know, like, mm-hmm. I still checked because we're just built to kind of like give into these things a little bit.
And I think very it's important curious. That you yeah. that you do feel that way, because that's what Belle's feeling. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's important that we crafted it so that you get out of that as
yeah.
well. No. So it's like you can't just watch that beginning, mm-hmm. feel inclined to do something like Belle is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to understand why she is, because otherwise you'll never relate to her.
Yeah.
But then you have to also get out of it and understand, okay, what are the repercussions if I do mm-hmm. continue to do what Belle does?
Yeah, great. I loved it. I think you did such Thank a you. Beautiful job. Is there anything that you guys learned as filmmakers from working on this project specifically?
You have to work really hard.
Yeah.
Every step of the way, and no yeah. one's going to do it for you.
How long was this shoot?
We shot for summer. We
okay.
shot for like 4 weeks, I believe.
Okay.
And then prior to that, I spent about 2 years writing the script,
mm-hmm.
a year in development, mm-hmm. and then about a year or two in post.
Oh, good. Yeah. yeah. It just takes time and a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. I would say get a good publicist.
Yeah.
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 That's good. It makes sense. Because yeah. if you make a good movie but nobody knows it exists, what can you do?
Especially sure. now with the market, there's like yeah. there's a glut because there are more films being made. So
mm-hmm.
you need an avenue.
Yeah.
You need an audience. You need to figure out what that is.
And a positive mindset.
Yeah. That's good. Positive mindset for yeah. anything.
For anything.
Anything you do in any avenue, positive mindset, that's like the best advice ever. But speaking of advice, is there anything that you would like to say to like current or aspiring filmmakers to like push them through and, you know, inspire them?
Well, Carly just sent me this really good video of this kid who's jumping up and down.
It's
and this
kid failing at an obstacle course on YouTube.
Okay.
You have to just find it. That's what it's like to make a movie. But this kid keeps getting back up.
Yes.
He gets hit by this thing. It's like, so hard. But he doesn't even take a second. He gets back up immediately
yes.
and gets back on this thing and then gets hit in the face again. So it's just this like blind optimism, I think,
yes.
paired with this relentless ambition that mm-hmm. I think you have to
and
have
perseverance.
To make it. Yeah.
Yeah. So just you get knocked down, but you get up again.
Yeah.
It's a Chumbawamba song now.
Right. Well, exactly. Like you get knocked down 17 times, but
yeah.
you get up 8, mm-hmm. 18. So.
Yeah. And then you get up,
yeah.
you keep going,
That's
and then a project
difference.
Will come out.
Yeah.
A project will come out. If you just keep working at it,
yes,
you will make
absolutely.
You will make it happen. So that's great. Thank you so much for chatting with me, you guys. That was
Thanks for having
so
us.
Fabulous. And let everybody know where they can find you on social media and where they can find out about future screenings of Little Miss Perfect.
Sure. So the film website has all the links.
Mm-hmm.
It has also upcoming screenings, recent press, the trailer, all
mm-hmm.
that sort of stuff. And that's www.littlemissperfectmovie.com. And then our social media for the movie is at LMPMovie. And my personal one is marlyroberts.com. And at Marley Roberts.
And all my social media handles are at Carly Roberts.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So make sure you guys go out there and check out littlemissperfectmovie.com so you can see this wonderful, wonderful movie. I'm Mary Lou Mandel. You can find me on all social media at Mary Lou Mandel. And we will catch you next time.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.